Joseph Conrad, an introduction. Born in 1857 in Poland, Joseph Conrad became a British citizen just before he turned 30. In the intervening years, he lost both parents. As an orphan aged 11, he was therefore raised by an uncle who at 16 let the boy go to Marseille to work on merchant ships, where the colourful life of the sea was further enhanced by stints, gunrunning and, intriguingly, political conspiracy. At age 36, his life turned from one of ships to one of literary pursuit. In doing so, Conrad brought to English literature a further layer of style and a deeper examination of the human psyche in a wealth of work. He wrote many novels, rightly regarded today as some of the finest in English literature. Among their canon are Lord Jim, Nostromo, The Shadow Line, and of course, Heart of Darkness. For this volume, we dwell among his numerous short stories. In these condensed narrative structures, much is said in beautiful language. His characters may be brave, comic, serious, trapped by their own constraints, but are always fully formed and true to his words.
The Informer by Joseph Conrad. Mr. X came to me, preceded by a letter of introduction from a good friend of mine in Paris, specifically to see my collection of Chinese bronzes and porcelain. My friend in Paris is a collector too. He collects neither porcelain nor bronzes, nor pictures, nor medals, nor stamps, nor anything that could be profitably dispersed under an auctioneer's hammer. He would reject with genuine surprise the name of a collector. Nevertheless, that's what he is by temperament. He collects acquaintances. It is delicate work. He brings to it the patience, the passion, the determination of a true collector of curiosities. His collection does not contain any royal personages. I don't think he considers them sufficiently rare and interesting. But with that exception, he has met with and talked to everyone worth knowing on any conceivable ground. He observes them, listens to them, penetrates them, measures them, and puts the memory away in the galleries of his mind. He has schemed, plotted, and travelled all over Europe in order to add to his collection of distinguished personal acquaintances. As he is wealthy, well-connected, and unprejudiced, his collection is pretty complete, including objects, or should I say subjects, whose value is unappreciated by the vulgar and often unknown to popular fame. Of those specimens, my friend is naturally the most proud. He wrote to me of X. He is the greatest rebel, révolté, of modern times. The world knows him as a revolutionary writer whose savage irony has laid bare the rottenness of the most respectable institutions. He has scalped every venerated head and has mangled at the stake of his wit every received opinion and every recognized principle of conduct and policy. Who does not remember his flaming red revolutionary pamphlets? Their sudden swarmings used to overwhelm the powers of every continental police like a plague of crimson gadflies. But this extreme writer has been also the active inspirer of secret societies, the mysterious unknown number one of desperate conspiracies, suspected and unsuspected, matured or baffled. And the world at large has never had an inkling of that fact. This accounts for him going about amongst us to this day, a veteran of many subterranean campaigns, standing aside now, safe within his reputation of merely the greatest destructive publicist that ever lived. Thus wrote my friend, adding that Mr. X was an enlightened connoisseur of bronzes and china, and asking me to show him my collection.